Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. After he appeared to his followers in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Good morning. Let us pray. Holy God, help us to show our love for you and our faith in you by taking care of all of your people. Amen. A pious man explained to his followers, quote, "It is evil to take lives and noble to save them. Each day I pledge to save 100 lives. I drop my net into the lake and scoop out 100 fishes. I place the fishes on the bank where they flop and twirl. Don't be scared. I tell those fishes, I am saving you from drowning." soon enough, the fishes grow calm and lie still. Yet, sad to say, I am always too late. The fishes expire. And because it is evil to waste anything, I take those dead fishes to market and I sell them for a good price. With the money I receive, I buy more nets so I can save more fishes. Anonymous. That is an ancient fable from Asia. Author Amy Tan, who wrote a novel called Saving the Fishes, cites this fable at the beginning of her novel. The fable illustrates how a plainly self-serving endeavor can be dressed up in religious language. It also illustrates the experience countless people have had when Christianity isn't at its best. There are lots of examples. Conversion therapy, Indian boarding schools, the Crusades. It's a sad fact of our history that since we have existed as a religion, although meant for good, our religion, has been used to hurt, to exploit. So, when Jesus has Peter there on the side of the lake, he asks Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Jesus isn't asking Peter if he loves him more than the other disciples. I used to think that, but I don't think that anymore. He's asking Peter, "Do you love me more than these fish that you caught?" A little bit of a historical background for you. The Sea of Galilee in the Holy Land, it's a lake, has sustained the local people since time immemorial. There's nothing wrong with fishing, right? It's something people do to survive, especially sustainable fishing, right? Which doesn't deplete the population but allows it to revive. Well, during the time of Jesus, we have archaeological data that Rome was overfishing the sea. That in Rome, there was an insatiable appetite for fish. And so during the time of Jesus, Tiberius had built a new town by the sea, the lake, just to pull all the fish out and send them to Rome. And there was good money that could be made. So, that puts our gospel reading this morning into context. When Jesus found the disciples at the beginning of his ministry, they were trying to get a piece of the money that could be made by fishing. Jesus called them to do something else. They followed him for 3 years, and now that he died and resurrected, they still weren't sure about that resurrection. Peter says, "Let's go back to fishing, where we can make some money to survive." So it's to this Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me more than fishing to make money?" And Peter says, "Yes." So then Jesus invites Peter to enter back into ministry. He says, "If you love me, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, take care of my people." In other words, Jesus is inviting Peter to change from an attitude of extracting to a practice of nurturing. Like a shepherd cares for their sheep. This is about how we relate to people. We are to be about more than what we can just get out of one another. We can actually care for and nurture each other. Allow me to get personal for a moment. I know that in these past few months, I have had feelings of anger. Personally, I have felt very angry at what I see happening in the world. And I also am aware that this anger has definitely spilled over into many of my sermons lately. And if by doing so I have hurt you or alienated any of you, I am very sorry. I see in myself, in this reading, a call that if I only preach and teach for people who agree with me, then I'm just like Peter fishing. I'm just trying to catch people who are the same as me. Where Jesus is inviting me and you, each of us, rather than to look for and associate people that we agree with, sort of like just fishing, we are to nurture each other. We are to care for each other, especially for those whom we might disagree with. I want to know what you think and feel, to learn from you. And I hope that you are interested in learning not just from me, but from each other as well. One pastor said it like this: it's not about left or right. It's about right or wrong. It's about nurturing. We are not stuck in an endless struggle between left and right. That's fake. That's fake news. That's all of it. All of them are fake in that way. All human beings, we have shared goals. We have one God who isn't left or right. We have a God who is a God of righteousness, goodness, and justice. Look at Paul as an example, our story from Paul. You know, Paul was a Roman citizen, but also a Jew. And he was aware of this spread of Christianity. At the time, it wasn't called Christianity, it was called the Way. And it was spreading in churches, and Paul saw this as a threat. He saw Christians as taking away good and faithful Jews. And so his whole purpose, his whole existence in the younger years of his life was to persecute Christians because he saw it as a zero-sum game. If someone becomes a Christian, they're no longer Jew. And he's on his way to go arrest people, to persecute them, when he has this vision where Jesus speaks to him and says, "Paul, why are you persecuting me?" And by doing that, Jesus showed Paul that the people he thought were his enemies were actually Jesus. They were God. Jesus tells Peter that when we're young, we put on our belts, we go where we want, we do what we want. It's like some people asked my youngest child the other day. They said, someone here at church said, it was Saturday night, the Saturday night vigil, and it was a little bit late, and they said, "Well, when do you normally go to bed?" And she put her hands on her hips and said, "Whenever I want." That's how we are when we're children. And Jesus tells Peter, but when we get older, someone else will put a belt around us and lead us by the hands where we want to go or not. We are all at the mercy of our Almighty God. Amen. Please stand as